Welcome to There Are Other Ways, conversations about living life a little differently. I'm Fiona Barrows, a brand storyteller for small creative businesses. Hello, so this is the third episode of season two of There Are Other Ways. First of all, I just want to say a massive thank you to everyone who messaged and emailed me about episode two, which was my chat with Rachel about mental health. It was really hard putting the episode out there, but all of your emails and messages made it really worthwhile, so thank you. So on to this week's episode, and it is a chat with women's coach Claire Baker, all about living in tune with your menstrual cycle. I found this conversation and Claire's work in general really fascinating. I think she does such a good job of challenging and removing the shame around periods, and it's not something I know that much about, so I really hope you enjoy it and find it as interesting as I did. Hi Claire.
Hello Fiona.
Thank you so much for agreeing to come on There Are Other Ways. I'm really looking forward to talking to you.
I'm really looking forward to speaking with you. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. What you do is something I don't know that much about and that I'm really kind of keen to explore a bit more. So this should be a good conversation and one I'm very interested in. Right. So for anyone who hasn't come across you online, perhaps you wouldn't mind introducing yourself, saying a little bit about who you are and what you do and how you are living life a little differently.
Sure. Well, my name is Claire Baker. And I work as a women's coach primarily, but my work is focused on the menstrual cycle in the sense that I'm a qualified health and life coach, and that's what I've been doing now for 6 years, working with women on their health and life goals and intentions. But the menstrual cycle is the lens that I use to help women understand themselves better and understand what they really want from their life and to understand their own rhythm so that they can work with it to achieve the things they want to achieve and to really become the authority in their own life. So I've been called a menstrual coach or a period coach. I always sort of circle back to women's coach because that resonates with me. But certainly, the menstrual cycle is at the core of what I do. And other than that, I also am currently living in London. I'm Australian. I've been out here for a couple of years now. And I'm currently on a little bit of a traveling chapter. I'm in and out of London at the moment, spending some time seeing a bit more of Europe and sort of, I guess, taking a little bit of a London break, but also, exploring some new parts of the world. So that's currently my life situation.
Yeah, it all sounds very interesting. You were just saying before we started recording that you're off to Croatia soon for a bit.
Yes, up there for a month. I can't wait. It's a part of the world I haven't explored at all yet, so a month there in October.
Oh, that would be amazing. I'm looking forward to seeing photos on your Instagram of that. And I'm sure it will probably ignite my wanderlust as well when I see them. Okay, so let's start with a bit more about you. So when did you move over from Australia and why? What was sort of the motivation?
I came over in June of 2016, and it's been moving to the UK / Europe, moving to this part of the world has been something I've just known was going to do. I always knew I was going to do it. And we're lucky as Australians, we get a 2-year working visa that we can apply for and come and spend a couple of years out here working. But that has a time limit. And so you have to have applied for that before you're 31. And it was just before my 30th birthday. I'd been out to Berlin and to London for a holiday to see some friends. And, you know, when it's just the right moment, it just clicked over for me like, yep, this is the time now. It's time to do it. So I got back to Australia, and within 6 months I was back over here living here. So it happened quite quickly once I made the decision, but it had been something I knew, had always known that I was going to do.
Yeah, we had the same opportunity as well to go and live in Australia for 2 years. It was something I thought about, but I'm now too old to apply for that. But I also had a similar sort of thing just before my sort of 31st birthday, being like, well, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it now. And then I didn't. You've worked as a women's coach for sort of 6 years or so. Did you do anything before then, or like how did you get into it originally?
Well, I studied visual arts and design and business management, so it was very different little career. It was definitely a shift in trajectory when I started coaching. I've been working as a buyer and doing visual merchandising for a really long time. And I liked what I did. I liked because it was creative and I was fairly self-autonomous. I got to make my own decisions and it was a fine job. I got to travel and I quite liked it. But I knew it, my heart wasn't really in it, you know, and I just have always known, I know myself well enough to know that I would always work for myself simply because I'm self-motivated, but I also I prefer to be on my own schedule, you know, and I'm not really somebody who works well in teams, if I'm honest. I work better on my own and I'm naturally very introverted and I'm naturally, yeah, like I said, self-motivated. I get work done, but I prefer to do it on my own clock. So I always knew that I would work for myself. So at 26, I was going through what I call my quarter life crisis of just assessing everything in my life, you know, not binge drinking anymore, not going out, not blowing cash on things that I didn't really need, just taking some time to get clear on who I was and what I really wanted. And so I started to blog. A girlfriend had suggested to me, well, why don't you start a blog and just see what happens? And so I started blogging in 2012. And at that point, it was just like sharing recipes that I was into and sharing craft markets that I was going to and little craft projects I was doing and travel stories. And it just grew from that, really. It really was just one step in front of, you know, in front of the next. And I started to... Yeah, I think more about health and wellness. And a course came up that another friend of mine had done that looked really great to become a qualified health coach. And I thought, I'll just do this on the side. I've kind of got this blogging thing going on that I'm enjoying. I'll just start coaching friends and family after work. And this will, to satisfy that part of me that wants to serve people and actually wants to do work that's meaningful. And very quickly it became much more than that. And so, it was about 18 months after I started studying and coaching and blogging. It was all around the same time, just exploring these things, that it ended up becoming full-time. And it has just continued to evolve like that. I certainly wouldn't say that it's been an overnight success story at all. It's been very slow and very organic. But that works for me. I much prefer that, actually.
And how did you come up with when did you kind of begin to focus on menstrual cycles and kind of living in tune with that?
So I came off the contraceptive pill in the middle of that quarter life crisis as well. So when I look back, it's interesting to see just how many choices I made within a couple of months, you know, within this one season, really, that were so catalytic, actually, for where I am now. It's quite interesting to me. And they all seemed very separate at the time. Starting the blog, coming off the pill, deciding to study again, and they've all led to where I am now, which is really interesting to me. But I came off the pill, and nothing happened. I didn't bleed for an entire year, and in that year, I just kind of lost my mind. And you can actually see it on my blog. I'm writing about it. Like, these posts are still there. Me freaking out because my period had vanished, and had I completely screwed my fertility? And what even is ovulation? What are these whole new, you know, processes of the body that I had never known anything about before? When you're on the pill, you don't ovulate, and you don't actually menstruate. It's not actually a true period either. So it was all new to me, getting to know what was going on in my body and also what wasn't happening in my body. And so I delved deep dive into the women's reproductive health system. And so then when my period did return, I was truly armed with knowledge and a real understanding of how to chart my cycle and how to track it and understand it. And I was so curious and so excited to get to know this whole new process that my body was now undertaking. And I also just couldn't believe how incredibly different I felt being off the pill as opposed to being on it. It felt like this veil was lifted. It was like going from black and white TV to Technicolor. I just felt so much more myself. I felt clearer. I felt more decisive. I felt more creative. I felt more sexual. I just felt more me on every level possible. And so different week to week. And that was that was so incredible to me, just how much my body changed from 1 week to the next. And naturally, as I was getting to know my own cycle and recognizing these patterns within it, it then fed into the work I was doing with clients. Like I said, I'm a qualified health and life coach. And so naturally, when a client told me that she was feeling really down on herself, for example, because the week before she'd been able to get up every morning and get to yoga, and she was feeling really engaged with her partner that week and really positive about things, but now a week later she was feeling more lethargic, she was feeling more irritable, she was feeling sleepier, and was really criticizing herself. This was something I continued to see, and I would ask her, well, what day of your cycle are you on? And we would have a conversation about, well, you know, possibly last week, maybe you were ovulating and you were in the summer of your cycle, which is the lens I use, the seasons, to describe each phase of the cycle. Now you're here and things are different and your hormones have shifted and it's okay to feel like this. And next week you might feel like this. And maybe if we start charting it, we might start to see patterns. And really that's how it all began, was just me having this curiosity for my own cycle and then having these conversations with clients, having these conversations with friends. And I couldn't believe that more people weren't talking about it. It just felt so... it was the missing key to me, you know, for me it was, and I've had so many clients say that to me as well. They know what they need to do health-wise. They know what they need to do to achieve their life goals, but the cycle is this missing key for them. Knowing their own cycle is what really gives them the framework to actually, like I said earlier, to know that and understand themselves and to know what they actually need to do to make these changes that they want to make. So that was the real beginning of all of the work I'm doing now.
Wow. I mean, it's so interesting what you said there about how you kind of made these decisions separately, but they were sort of all kind of came together, and that coming off the pill was a catalyst for you for lots of other things really resonated. Because I hadn't really thought about it before, but I was just thinking about it, and I came off the pill when so I lived in London for 6 years and I was on the pill for I think most of that time, and then I left to go traveling, and I started off continuing to take the pill but ended up coming off it a few months in, mainly because I just wasn't taking it regularly. Like I was traveling too much, my time zones were all over the place, I was doing more harm to my body than good by staying on it, so I came off it. And like you said, I had a similar sort of sense of suddenly of getting that sort of rush coming back to me. Like it was quite a, like I think about it now and I think about everything that's happened since, and a sort of like, I think back to London and being very, I mean, for me, it's been a lot about feelings, like always feeling like I couldn't express myself and that kind of being ashamed of how I felt and ashamed of my emotions and having these ups and downs. And then, but realizing that also they were kind of being dampened down probably by the pill as well, that I was kind of restricting so much. And then, yeah, and then since coming off it, things have felt very different. And I have kind of learned to kind of be a bit more accepting of myself and of my own cycles and of my own emotions. Definitely.
Yeah. I hear that every day.
But it's so crazy how so many of us are on it for these really long periods of time, and it's just sort of seen as normal as well.
Yeah, it's the length of time that I take some issue with. I don't think the pill is wrong or bad, and I think that in certain cases it can be very helpful and certainly short term, but when it's used as a band-aid solution for in the long term, and certainly for me, I was on it primarily for my skin. I was never actually taught how to manage my reproductive system for contraceptive purposes. And I'm grateful for the years that I was on it, for the years that I didn't fall pregnant. That was brilliant. Yeah. However, it just isn't a long-term solution, in my opinion.
And why do you think, I mean, first of all, do you notice the difference between how much menstrual cycles are spoken about in the UK as opposed to in Australia?
I think Australia and the UK are similar and they're quite conservative. And I would say it's about the same. But it's interesting when I teach in other countries or when I work with people from different parts of the world, noticing the differences in the way that menstruation is spoken about. To be honest, in most Western countries, it's still a huge taboo. There's a lot of shame still attached to it. It's certainly we're becoming more period literate, and we're having more conversations around, you know, women's health and menstruation, and that's great. But there is still that deep shame that most of us are unraveling around bleeding.
Yeah, definitely. And why do you think that is? Why do you think? Because it seems so silly when you think about it. Like, half the population of the world bleed monthly.
None of us would be here if it weren't for it. You know, it's literally the reason we're all here. It's the system that created us.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's fascinating. It's fascinating. And, you know, I'm hesitant to use the word, but I'm going to. It's a patriarchal oppression, yeah, really, of women at the core of it. It's a very powerful process. Again, we literally create life with our bodies. I can't help but think it's a way to suppress women and our power. And we've all just become really used to that now. And so it's really seems really normal to shame women or to make jokes about menstruation or to just not talk about it at all, even if it's not in a negative way. There's a censoring, and we're just told to be silent and not really talk about it and use other language. Like, don't even say period. You know, we have all of these other words that we use instead of saying tampon or instead of saying period or bleeding. It's very hush-hush. You know, we've really demonized PMS for women. We've really demonized menopause. You know, we don't talk about that at all. You know, we don't even talk about perimenopause and menopause and what happens after a woman's fertile years come to an end. We don't celebrate when a woman begins her menstruating years and has her first period. It's all very quiet still, but it's changing, and I'm so grateful to live in a time where it is changing and to start to see that shift happening.
Yeah, it does feel like there is a very visible shift happening at the moment. But I think back to when I got my first period and I was so ashamed of it. Like, I kind of hid it for a few days until I absolutely couldn't. And then I had to, like, pluck up the courage to go talk to my mum. And I was just so embarrassed by it. And you just think that's – and I look back now and I just think that's crazy. You know, it's such a natural thing.
It is. It's such a natural thing. It's at the same time, it's incredibly just like awe-inspiring. I mean, it's such an amazing process. And at the same time, it's so normal. And as you said, it happens to 50% of the population, those who are menstruating, those who are in their fertile years, every month. And I was like you, Fiona. I didn't tell anybody. I kept it to myself. I just managed it myself. I didn't tell my mom. I didn't really tell any of my girlfriends. I just somehow figured out how to manage it on my own, because I didn't want to talk about it. And then I went straight on the pill within a year. And so it wasn't really until I was 26 and I came off the pill that I actually began to experience a natural cycle for the first time and to get to know how it actually really felt to have a period and to ovulate and to menstruate, things that had never been really my experience. And certainly I didn't know anything about them, and I certainly wasn't told to celebrate them.
I think it's also perhaps partly due to how we, not how we manage, isn't quite the right word, but I guess it is in the sense of sort of using tampons and towels and stuff. Because I started to use a moon cup just before I went traveling as a way to not have to carry 6 months worth of tampons around in my bag. And it's amazing how much more in tune that puts you with your menstrual cycle, because you actually see what is coming out of you.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear you say that. I love moon cups. And that was a really big moment for me when I started using moon cups instead of tampons. I never really liked pads very much, but I'd always use tampons. And when you use a tampon, it's very easy to disconnect from the process that your body's undertaking. You don't feel or see the blood at all. You take it out, it usually just goes straight into the sanitary bin or in the rubbish or down the toilet if you're a little bit naughty, and that's it. You know, then you pop another one in and that's it. And I loved that. I loved it. And may I just say, like, I loved being on the pill. I loved not having my period and skipping it for months at a time. I loved just using tampons. Like, brilliant. And now I really see what I was missing out on, because, like you say, you don't get to interact with your blood and see how much you're losing and see the quantity, see the quality. you know, like engage with it. You know, I love like seeing, is there any clotting? That's really helpful information to know what the consistency and the quality and the smell and the quality of your blood. It's very, very clear and helpful feedback from your body about your health. And there's something about seeing that blood for me, and I hear this from women a lot, that has helped to shift another layer of like body love and acceptance within themselves by accepting the blood that they see, even if it's just a moment of just looking at it and just marveling at it before pouring it then down the sink. Brilliant. Like just that moment of just appreciating the process that your body is going through. For them and for me as well, there's just another layer of shame that dissolves when you do that.
Yeah, and I find it funny as well how squeamish people are about it, because I remember talking to a group of girlfriends about it, having just got it, and telling a funny story about how it was like the first month I'd used it, and there was a moment I was still working full time, a moment the first morning I think I had to get it out and I just couldn't, and I was late for work and I was sweating in the bathroom, like panicked, I just couldn't get a hold on it, and I was telling them this story in kind of a funny way, and they all just freaked out about it, like the thought of like touching themselves and touching the blood and, you know, being that close to it, just they were like, oh my god, don't say it. And I was like, well, it's kind of, you know, it comes out of you, like it's part of you, it's no different to anything else. And it just, I just found it very funny that was their reaction to it.
Yeah, it's like I said, this shame is ingrained, it's really in there. Yeah. it's deep and the stories like the one that you told those women are just so fantastic, because the more we talk about it, the more we make it really normal, it just starts to chip away at that shame. And so even if that may have been their response in that moment, who's to say that it didn't pique a curiosity as well to them explore something within themselves too. And I just think the more we just make it really normal, it doesn't have to be a show and, you know, show and tell or a, you know, a song and dance every time, but just talk about it. It's just a really normal, natural thing that happens. Then it will be, because it is.
Yeah. So you now live in tune with your menstrual cycle. So what does that sort of mean in reality? Like, what does that look like?
So for me, it means knowing each phase of my cycle very intimately, and knowing each day of my cycle as well. So when I say that, I mean that day one of your cycle is the first day of full flow bleeding. And so that's your day one, and then you count forward from there, and your cycle might, you know, a cycle might be anything from 20 something days. For some women it's much longer, up into the 40s, but average ish around 27 to 35. I normally find with women that will be the length of your cycle. And knowing how you feel when you're bleeding is really important. Knowing how you feel when you're in your pre-ovulatory phase of your cycle, knowing how you feel when you're ovulating, and then knowing how you feel when you're in the premenstrual, that bit before bleeding. Got these four phases. So for me, living in sync with my cycle is living in sync with these four phases. So it's really knowing how I feel when I'm in each of these phases, what my strengths are, what am I really good at, where am I most resilient at that time, what's my superpower, and also knowing my vulnerabilities in each of those phases, knowing where I do feel more sensitive or help my weaknesses show up in each of those phases. And then, where possible, structuring my life in such a way that I can work with those strengths and those vulnerabilities in each of these phases of my cycle. And so what does it actually look like? I mean, on a very practical level, it's charting, so it's tracking, and it's having a daily practice of checking in. And for me, I like to journal. I like to keep track in my journal of what day is it today, what day am I on in my cycle, how am I feeling, what's going on for me physically, mentally, emotionally, like how connected do I feel spiritually, what's happening, and beginning to track these patterns, and then taking care of myself or holding myself in a way that that is very kind according to how I'm feeling, and also using an app. So there's the tracking component, the charting, which really does need to be a daily practice, and that might take 5 minutes to just do a daily check-in with yourself. How am I feeling today? Great, I'm day 11. I know that day 11 is a day where I usually have quite a lot of energy because I'm building up to ovulation. Do I feel like that today? Yes, brilliant. Right, I'm going to go to the gym today then because I do feel that surge in energy. I'm then going to come home and map out a solid day's work because I have the capacity for that today. Then say I'm on day 11, brilliant. Somebody messages me and says, hey, in 10 days' time, do you want to plan a big social dinner at your house? And I say, oh, hang on a minute, I'll look at my calendar. Right, I'll be on day 21. Absolutely not. Because I know that my day 21 is really when I start to move into that premenstrum, that fourth phase of the cycle, the phase where I personally feel more sensitive. I know that one of my vulnerabilities there is that actually being around people is quite draining for me at that time. So I won't plan a big social catch up at my house for that night. But how about in a few days' time, or how about in a week's time? That would work for me. So it's just this like constant holding of yourself, checking in on where you are on any one day, getting to know each day of your cycle and your phase quite intimately, and then also looking ahead. What I love about the cycle is that it's a cycle, it's not a straight line. And so you're always, it's a continuum. You know, you've been somewhere and you're always moving somewhere else, and you can look ahead and plan. And of course, some things are completely out of our control, and that's fine, but that's where this holding is really important, and the energy we carry ourselves in on each day. But certainly there are plenty of things that we can control in our schedules. You know, we can choose if we're going to get up at 5 a.m. when we're bleeding and go to the gym when in fact we'd probably just prefer to sleep in that day. You know, we can choose when we do plan beauty appointments, or when we plan social catch-ups, or you know, how we when we choose to have more difficult conversations, or when we choose to actually take some time out for ourselves. And so for me, there's this real waxing and waning with the cycle. There's a building of energy after bleeding, and that's when I know I plan more things around work, I plan more social catch-ups. I really enjoy that waxing, that growing of energy that leads up to ovulation. And I'm certainly more productive, and I'm certainly more social. There's an agency in that time, like a real growing and expanding energy that I work with. And then post-ovulation, I know that there's a waning. It's like the exhale of the cycle, and there's a return to self and coming back in. And it is. It's like the seasons of the year. As we were just saying earlier, Fiona, this autumnal energy now is calling us all back in after the summer. We're enjoying the shorter days and lighting candles and returning to self. And really, that's what a woman, you know, the female body does throughout each menstrual cycle. And so living with that is just being aware of this waxing and waning of the cycle, and choosing to make choices that support you according to your own strengths and vulnerabilities in each phase.
Yeah, it's so refreshing to hear you talk like that, because it's so accepting of it. Because I think we really demonize sort of, because the only sort of emotional side of thing that we really talk about in terms of our cycles is PMT. And I think we've all had that thing where you sort of like got really upset and you felt really righteous in your upset at the time. Then you've like got your period the next day and you're like, oh, like that sort of explains why I was so upset. But it's just, I think your sort of attitude and your way of working with your cycle is just really refreshing, because, you know, why push ourselves to be something other than what we're feeling at a certain time? But as as we spoke about earlier, that's kind of what society expects. Like, they kind of expect us to all show up, you know, the 9 to 5 is so ingrained in our culture. And it's not really sort of how we feel on any day of the month isn't really taken into account at all, I don't think.
No, it's not. We definitely do not live in a world that, you know, we don't really live in a world that celebrates or acknowledges cycles of any kind, really. I mean, we certainly understand that there is a circadian rhythm and that we need to sleep each night. But even still, we're only just beginning to realize. Science is only just coming out now with the research that says, hey, sleep's really important. better get some. you know, we even try to push against that when it's so obvious that we need it. And it's my well, it's my hope at least and my belief that we will begin to see the menstrual cycle in the same light, that in fact, you know, menstruation is the natural point in the cycle for rest, and that there is this waxing and waning within the female body, but also within all humans. I mean, we're all cyclic beings, and we do move through these cycles of life. And so, unfortunately, right now, that's not the case. And as you say, in the 9-to-5 world, this Monday to Friday, very linear system, there is no room at all in that for the female body's shifting rhythm.
And so how has living in tune with your cycle sort of impacted you, and what sort of benefits have you seen for yourself?
There's been everything. It's changed everything for me. But I must say there's been a softening towards myself. I find it easier to access more self-kindness and compassion than I have before. I used to be extremely self-critical, and I still have the capacity to be so, of course. But there's, with more understanding of self, and when you can recognize your own ebb and flow, then, like I said earlier, so often I'd see with clients, there's this self-berating when 1 week you feel like this and you can tick, you know, X, Y, Z off the list. And then the next week you're very different. And we're so used to criticizing ourselves for that inconsistency and for seeing it as a negative thing. This work says, yeah, you are actually inconsistent week to week. But number one, there are patterns within your cycle. Get to know them, because you'll probably begin to see consistencies within the cycle. And number two, it's actually a brilliant thing to change week to week. How wonderful to have these shifting strengths and vulnerabilities that you can tap into and work with week to week to week to week to week. And when you can use your whole cycle to your advantage, for me personally, that has just led to so much acceptance of all parts of who I am. You know, the part of me that is more introverted and that is more reserved and sensitive and intuitive and more connected to self, and the part of me that loves to be with people and celebrate and is quite sexual and outgoing and very creative, and the part of me that does get really pissed off with things that, you know, with injustices, the part of me that is more fiery and quite angry and feisty, that wild energy within myself. I love that I have a week that I get to actually really be in that energy. I love that there's a week where I feel more playful and I feel more curious and a bit softer. You know, there's so many different parts of being a human. Being a human is such a messy thing, because we do have all of these different facets. You know, we contain multitudes, and working with the cycle gives women an opportunity to get to embrace and celebrate and embody each part of self. And for me, that has just been so healing, to fully come into like full union with all parts of myself. I can't underline that enough.
Yeah, I think it's also part of sort of the opening up to sort of our menstrual cycle is also part of sort of, I think, a kind of a general shift as well towards accepting, as you say, sort of the messiness of being a human and how we are all different. And I know it's something that I've kind of felt, and I think it kind of ties in with the, you know, with opening up to mental health, and then also with the sort of growing awareness of introversion and how it's not actually a bad thing. It can be, as Susan Cain says, it can be really powerful. And I think there is this sort of shift that we're in at the moment, and perhaps it's also linked to generally a shift sort of hopefully away from sort of a completely patriarchal world into one where, you know, where women are given, you know, have more of a say, and are, and as we're kind of shifting through that, it sort of was previously all about sort of women fitting into to the men's world and into, and I think for me it shows up a lot with like accepting my own emotions and accepting that I am sensitive and that I have feelings, and realizing that that's okay, that I don't have to, you know, like whitewash my emotions, and that's not necessarily better. It's not necessarily better to not react to anything. And so I do think there is this sort of this bigger shift going on at the moment, or I hope there is at least.
Yeah, I hope so too. And I agree with you. I think that there is. And sometimes I think, is it just in my little bubble where I speak about these things all of the time? But then I step out of that and I do see, you know, more mental health initiatives and speaking more, you know, seeing not, you know, not only women, but certainly men speaking more about their emotions and celebrating, like you said, introversion and sensitivities. I can see these things changing and recognizing that we're not machines, we're human beings, and none of us can hustle every single day and get away with it. You know, that's not sustainable. And I think, you know, sustainability is another really important piece to mention here, because that's something that we're talking more and more about in the world at large. How do we create a sustainable world? But it's also about creating sustainable humans. And this way of living, any way of working with cycles is sustainable. And so for women, working with the menstrual cycle is a far more sustainable way of living, because there's room for rest, there's room for planting seeds and starting new things, there's room for being, you know, your full expression and that bountiful, fruitful energy. And then there's room for resting and editing and reflecting and coming back in again and letting that cycle begin again. And it's been interesting for me to watch like my partner, for example, watch the way that I live and start to almost by osmosis take on some of that himself. And I do see this with girlfriends of mine who have families, you know, where they really live by their cycle. Their children start to pick up on that as well, and their partners. And that's really interesting to me, to see that as women embrace their menstrual cycle and start to live more in alignment with that, it's this beautiful ripple effect, you know, as we all come back into connection with our true natural state. We feel that as a collective, and my hope is that that will continue to expand out and influence greater change in the world.
That sounds amazing. Just quickly, just one more question. What has been your experience when it comes to sort of your menstrual cycle and creativity? Because I think we're recording this just at the beginning of September, and I think you're doing a sort of a challenge, is that right? Throughout the, not a challenge maybe isn't the right word, throughout all of September.
Yes, it's so funny. I always go to use the word challenge, and I think maybe that's not quite the right word.
Yeah.
But I can't quite come up with one either. I'm sort of calling it a prompt party this time around.
Okay, that's nice.
Yes, September celebration is something I've done for a few years now with my online community, and it is, I mean, essentially, it's a month of prompts that you can use to, share on all things creatively connected to cycles, coming into more loving place within yourself. But the connection with the cycle and creativity is one of my favorite things to talk about, because, as we said earlier, the cycle literally creates life. It's designed to create human life. And there is this, you know, the creative process is embedded in the female body. And so for me, one of the questions I always ask when I'm moving through these phases of my cycle and getting to know each day is, well, how, you know, what's my creative energy like today? And I've really seen a pattern with my own cycle of how my creative energy shifts and changes. And I'm a creative person, and certainly not only just through my business, but also my own creative projects. It's really important to me that I know when I can work with that to bring something to life. So, for example, I know that when I'm bleeding, I'm far more introspective and quite intuitive, and I get really great ideas. That's when I get my best ideas, is when I'm bleeding. I get better ideas then than any other point in my cycle, but I don't have the energy right away to actually implement them. And it's important to me that I rest then, so I don't actually implement those ideas then. I wait until I'm then moving into that second phase, when I'm in that pre-ovulation phase of the cycle, and then I'll start experimenting and implementing and moving things forward. I know that the week before I bleed is when I'm best to do editing and reflecting, and that's a really good time for me to then assess where a project is at and slash things if need be. And and then if there's any, I guess, little niggles that I'm not quite sure if I get rid of something with a project or if I want to keep it, because often in that premenstrual phase, I know that I creatively just want to burn things to the ground. That can be my tendency, is to just want to throw everything out and start again. Is that like just, oh, stuff this, I'm done. So again, it's not a phase where I take action. I just know that, right, there's some insight coming in here about some things I might want to get rid of. So creatively, I might just like make a note here, and I'll come back to this again once I've bled again and had some ideas on it, and then again use that pre-ovulatory and ovulation phase when I, like I said earlier, when I'm quite productive and quite creative and more expressive and outgoing, to bring things to life. So working with that ebb and flow for me has been incredible to see what I can bring to life with so much more ease and joy then.
I think those are two really key words, ease and joy, because I think we fight against ourselves so much, and we fight against our own nature, and that's when it doesn't feel good, especially with creativity.
Yes, exactly, especially with creativity. It doesn't have to be a slog all of the time, and of course it doesn't always work out like that. There are times where I have to be presenting something on day 27, and that's just the way that it is. That's a time when I prefer not to be doing that, and there are times when I need to be quite creative and outgoing, and that's okay. That's fine. I can of course do that. We can do anything on any day, of course, but it is, to find that ease and joy is really about knowing those strengths and vulnerabilities in each phase, and where possible, syncing your life to be able to live, by a cycle.
Yeah. So if anyone listening is keen to start living more in tune with their own cycle, how would you suggest they start?
So I have a collection of free resources on my website at thisislifeblood.com/free-love. And there I have a calendar, a printout calendar that you can start to use to track your cycle. There's a 90-minute class on understanding each of these phases that I've been talking about. If you're then curious to take it further, my ebook, Adore Your Cycle, there's also an audiobook version of it. It's a couple of years old now, and it's still just loved by, so many women. I hear all of the time, it's been really helpful for them to get to know each phase more intimately. There's more self-care practical tips and strategies in there. And then to take it to the next step, in October, I'm running a round of my online course, Radiate, which is an 8-week course that really gets into the self-care. So it's cyclical self-care for awakening women, and it's really looking at what's happening hormonally in each phase, how can you best support your body, how can you really take care of yourself. And we have group calls, and it's quite interactive, and that's wonderful because you can connect with other women on their journey with their cycle too. So yeah, that's where I would begin.
Amazing. And so before I let you go, I ask all of my guests, what has been the hardest thing for you about living life a little differently?
In the beginning, and even still now, I suppose, it's other people's opinions, I think, have been something I've really had to work with and continue to as well. Worrying about what somebody I went to high school with in, in year 10 is thinking about my new business. It's incredible to me that the people that your inner critic comes up with when
But we're laughing about it, but I also know that I've had those same worries as well. I've thought about the people I went to school with, what they're thinking.
Yes, what is that one person I sat across, in maths, what are they thinking about this? I think that has been for me. And at the same time, I have a lot of very supportive people in my life, but there are people who question what you're doing and who aren't afraid to give you some feedback and unsolicited advice at times. And it takes courage and belief in yourself to move past that. I do think that's been one of the biggest challenges for me.
And what's been the best thing?
Freedom.
Yep.
Yeah, freedom, true freedom.
Going off to live in Croatia for a month.
Yeah, exactly. Just, it is about being able to do things like that, for sure. But I'm a homebody, and I'm also, like I said earlier, I'd like to be on my own time, on my own clock, and being able to check in with how I'm feeling that day, and then choose to live according to that. So that's everything to me. It really, really is. And it's wonderful to be able to travel. And I spent 2 months in Australia this year with my family and working, and I am so appreciative of that, because I know that if I had a inverted commas, normal job. I wouldn't be able to do that. And I'm grateful for that. But it's the more of the daily freedoms, you know, the choice to be able to finish work at 3 o'clock if I just don't really feel it anymore, or work, you know, at, pick up the laptop and work in the evening because I'm feeling more creative, take a 4-hour break during the day and get some life admin done and then come back and do an evening session of work. Like, that's to me, I love that so much.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think you said your website earlier, but just in case people missed it, what's your website? And also, what's your Instagram as well? Because that's where I found you.
Yes. So my website is thisislifeblood.com. And my Instagram handle is _ClaireBaker_.
Perfect. Claire, thank you so much for talking to me today. I think the work that you do is really vital and really refreshing and really necessary. So thank you so much.
Oh, cheers, Fiona. It's been a joy.
You're welcome. Thank you. So much for listening. If you enjoy this episode, then absolutely love it if you could rate, review and subscribe to this podcast, as it really does help put it in front of other people who might like it. If you want to join in the conversation, then please do come and find me over on Instagram. I'm at fbarrows. I'm pretty much always there and always talking about these things. And you can also subscribe to my weekly newsletter on my website, www.fionabarrows.com. It's called Letter and Notes, and I share stories and insights from my own experience in living life a little differently and a few other things I think you might find interesting each week. Until next time.